All right, praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of God. Good to be saved. I'm glad I got an anchor for my soul.
Yes.
Both sure and steadfast. You know, people are desperate right now. They're doing things that I would call unthinkable right now. Anything but suggest repenting, turning to God. And in our Sunday school class this morning, I do want to read an excerpt from this book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity. And this young man, kind of like what the people are doing today. And it's a terrible commentary. I read a real good one last time. But this one's called, I Have Missed It at Last. Some time ago, a physician called on a young man. Notice that. A young man who was ill. He sat by the bedside for a little while, examining his patient. Then the doctor honestly told his patient that he had but a short time to live. The young man was astonished. He had forgotten that death often comes in such an hour as you think not. And at length he looked up at the doctor and with a most despairing countenance said, I have missed it at last. What have you missed? Inquired the sympathizing physician. I have missed it at last. Again, he repeated. Missed what, doctor? I have missed the salvation of my soul. Oh, say not so. It's not so. Do you remember the thief on the cross? The doctor trying to be of help to this young man. Yes, I remember the thief on the cross. And I remember that he never said to the Holy Spirit, go your way. But I did. And now he's saying to me, go your way. The young man lay gasping a while. And then with a vacant, staring eye, he said, I was awake and was anxious about my soul a little time ago. But I did not want to be saved then. Something seemed to say to me, don't put it off. Make sure of salvation. I said to myself, I will postpone it. I knew I ought not to do it. I knew I was a great sinner and needed a Savior. I resolved, however, to dismiss the subject for the present. Yet I could not get my own consent to do so until I promised myself to take it up again at a time more favorable. I bargained away and resisted and insulted the Holy Spirit. I never thought of coming to this. I meant to have made my salvation assured, but now I have missed it. Do you remember the parable in Matthew chapter 20? Of the laborers in the vineyard, asked the doctor. Do you remember there were some who came to work in the vineyard at the 11th hour and everyone received the same reward? My 11th hour, he rejoined, was when I had that call of the Spirit. I have had none since. I'm given over to be lost. Oh, I have missed it. I have sold my soul for nothing, a feather, a straw. Now I'm undone forever. This was sad. With such indescribable despondency that the doctor said nothing in reply. After lying a few moments, the young man raised his head, looked all around the room as if searching for some desired object. Then he buried his face in the pillow and again exclaimed in agony and horror, oh, I have missed it at last. Then he died. Bible verse at the end of this, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. That's a terrible commentary for anyone. And yet that young man's last words were, don't do like me.
That's right.
Our Sunday school lesson this morning will be in Proverbs chapter 15. We read down to verse 18 last Sunday. And I want to go to God in prayer before we start our lesson. Father, we thank you for the day you've given us to gather in your house. I thank you, Father, that I'm not alone. Thank you for Brother Ed being here. Lord, both of us, Lord, wonder, Lord, at what may become this day. I see our country in turmoil. I see our people panicking. I see people afraid. I see them making poor choices. And Lord, they really should seek the Lord while they may be found. They really should call upon Him while He's near. And Lord, they're buying off the shelves all the product, trying to somehow survive when that's not a means of survival. Lord, you are the one that saves. You are the one that sustains. You are the one that supplies. Help, I pray, that mind be upon the mind, be in the mind of your children, that they'll take note that the righteous are never forsaken. Their seed are never begging bread. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Lord, you promised to protect. You promised to provide. And Lord, you prayed for us on the cross to be forgiven. And on the merits of that prayer, we can be forgiven. I thank you for salvation. I'm glad at the age of 34 years old, this young man did not resist the Holy Spirit. But this young man raised up a white flag and said, I surrender. Lord, I thank you, Father, that I did surrender. And I'm glad you took your rightful place upon the throne of my heart. Now these 32 years that I have been saved, I praise God through these lips of clay. I rejoice to be saved today. Ask your blessing upon our efforts in this Sunday school lesson. In Christ's name we ask it, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Our last lesson stopped at verse number 18. And I really like that verse number 17. Better's a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. I'm so thankful for that verse. It helped me one day and helps me even today. Verse 19, the way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. The slothful man, he's kind of like me. He's a procrastinator. He don't never really get anything done. And the thorns grow and the thistles grow. But the way of the righteous man is made plain. My neighbor, he's working on his fence yesterday. And for lack of better words, I should have been, but wasn't. But I did take note how hard he worked to get his cedar trees out of the fence line. And mind, you can't even tell where the fence line is. I've got thorns, briars, and thistles, and trees, and everything else growing on the farm. And you know what? There's a lesson to learn from this verse right here. Yeah. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day which men shall work? For he said, for the night cometh, and no man can work. We've got to work while it's day.
Amen.
And that's a spiritual application. See, we're children of light. A day is light, and night is darkness, and darkness is soon to take over on this earth. I don't know exactly when. I just know that the light's going to be taken away. We're going to be caught up. We're going home.
Right.
We're going to a city of light.
Yeah.
We're going to behold the great things that God has prepared for those that love Him and look to His appearing. But when we're gone, there's going to be a great darkness,
yes,
take place on this earth. And people are going to run for light. And they're going to search for light. And they're not going to find no light.
Amen.
There'll be a lot of false light. There'll be a lot of false preaching. There'll be a lot of false things. And the Antichrist will show up.
Right.
And even though he'll be false, he'll be accepted. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not.
Amen.
He said, another will come in His name, and you will receive Him. Yes. The sadness of the Antichrist is soon to be.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, how we need to be working. I'm thinking about lost men right now that I've went already 3 times and haven't been able to either get him to come to the door or haven't been able to find him home. He's in terrible health. And I'd like for him to get saved. And I'm hoping he will. I pray for him. Verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. You know, we need to raise our children. We really do. We need to teach them right. We need to show them the difference between right and wrong.
Yes.
A wise son maketh a glad father. Jesus, at the age of 12 years old, I'll tell you what, he said, I must be about my Father's business.
Amen.
And at the age of 30, he went to John. John said, I got need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, suffer to be so, John. It becometh us fulfill all righteousness.
Aye.
And John suffered and baptized Jesus. And when he did, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.
Amen.
A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. That's a terrible verse for a man that won't make his father glad, that will despise his mother. But it goes on today. And the reason it goes on today is because rebellion has been promoted.
Yes.
One of the 10 commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. It may be
that's right.
The sixth commandment, I'm not sure. I believe it is the sixth commandment, because the first four are regard to man's relationship with God, and I believe the next six, which are regard to man's relationship to man, I believe it starts out with honor thy father and thy mother.
She moved that over closer
to you. Okay. I believe it's the sixth. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a fifth one. Fifth, I can't do my math. Honor thy father and thy mother. The fifth commandment.
Yes.
And you know what? If we did honor our father and our mother, we'd make a glad father and we'd make a happy mother.
Yes.
But that rebellious spirit, the Bible says that we come out of the womb speaking lies. And it says in Isaiah chapter 30, woe to the rebellious children. I do want to read that because it's so applicable today. In Isaiah chapter 30, God put this in His Word. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me,
mm-hmm.
and that cover with a covering, but not my spirit, that they may what? Add sin to sin. I thought about that verse over in Hebrews this morning as I was coming in. I thought about that. That men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's wrong. Actually, it's in Timothy. Men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, lovers of pleasures, verse 4, more than lovers of God. And I tell you what, that spirit of rebellion, it adds sin to sin. It may start out small, but it don't stay small.
No, that's right.
Notice verse 2. That walked down into Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt's got everything you need. All you got to do is get to Egypt. There'll be plenty to eat. You'll have plenty of fun. They walked down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. They are not praying to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's their God. And that trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zion, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. And they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. You know, you can read on down through there at verse number 9 that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord.
Right.
They don't want nothing to do with it.
Right.
They say, I don't want none of that. I'm not interested in the things of God. I'm going to live in Egypt. Pharaoh's going to be my God. Well, that's what this verse kind of like talks about, verse 20. O wise son, maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Verse 21, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. All he wants to do is make a joke, laugh, tries to laugh everything off. And look, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I like to laugh myself. But there is a time to laugh, and there's a time not to laugh.
Amen.
But folly is a joy to him that's destitute of wisdom. He laughs no matter what, at anything. The least thing's funny to him, nothing serious to him. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Right. You know what? Children are kind of like that. They just kind of laugh at everything.
Yeah.
They're not worried about nothing. But the parents, you know, they're kind of mindful. They're careful. They're trying to make the money last. They're trying to make sure they got everything they need in the house. And the children, they want to watch cartoons. They want to laugh. They don't want to help clean or nothing. But folly is joy to him that's destitute of wisdom. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. You remember what God said about Job? He said he walketh uprightly.
Yes.
Let me read that real quick. I know ain't nobody but me and Brother Ed here, but I know a lot of people be listening today.
Yes.
And you know, that's amazing. Through technology, we're able to have church. Even when they say you're not allowed to have church, we may be breaking the law, but I don't mind breaking this law. Because I had it in my heart to find somewhere, even if we closed the doors, find somewhere to go to church today. And if I couldn't, I was going to go to the public square and try my best to get arrested preaching up there in the public square. But God said this about Job in verse 7 of Job chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. God thought that Job was a man that had understanding. God thought that Job was a man that walketh uprightly. The devil might not agree with it, but I'll tell you one thing, he wasn't able to rock old Job's boat.
Amen. That's right.
Verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Mm-hmm. The Lord gives us good counsel. Let me show you what I mean by that. And this is just coming to me. I'm just teaching off the cuff. I didn't really even think about this till just now. But in Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 10, the Lord doing the speaking here. I'll read verse 9 so you'll know that it is the Lord speaking. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Now he's doing the talking here in verse 10. Declaring the end. From the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God tells things that are yet to be. And I'll tell you what, when the time comes, they're done. And in this verse right here, he talks about without counsel, purposes are disappointed. I preached a while back about the man in Luke chapter 12. He had done well. His crops had brought forth plentifully. And he made plans. He had purpose to tear down his barns and build greater barns. And he didn't include God in his plans. And his purpose was overthrown. I can't remember. Let me get back to where I was here. His purposes were disappointed. All of his plans were disappointed. Because as he pillowed his head that night, verse 20 said, God said to him, thou fool,
yes,
this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Which shall those goods be? He had plans, he had purpose, he had plenty, but he didn't have the enjoyment of it. It was cut off. And this verse here, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, I got 66 right here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right.
In the multitude of counselors, they are established. You know, God established His Word. I'd be lucky to find this verse, but I will see if I can real quickly. He established His Word, and He commanded it to 1,000 generations. Let me see if I can find it all. I'll spend just a minute here. It's in Psalms 119. I've got a new Bible. I don't have it all painted up, marked up like my old Bible. It was falling away.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I got it in my heart. Amen. But God, He established His Word in the heavens, and He commanded it to 1,000 generations. And one thing about God is He's given us everything we need. We need not just be a hearer, we need to be a doer.
Amen.
But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. God established His Word. In the heavens, He established it. He gave it to man. I can remember this off the top of my head. Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the Word. Great was the company of those that published it. But that multitude of those counselors, God give us, which I call our Bible, the Word of God, in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? One word spoken at the right time, in the right spirit, is like a medicine to someone that's in need. Mm-hmm. You can remind someone of something they forgot. I remember a while back listening to the radio, I heard a song come on the radio, and it said, love the ones that God has given you, was the name of the song. And the man's voice sung the song. He said there was a cartoon showed Charlie Brown and Snoopy, and over the top of Charlie Brown, it said something like, Snoopy, one day we're all going to die. And over top of Snoopy said, yeah, but we're not dying today. And you know, you can enjoy the day. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Amen.
I'm looking at troublesome times in this country. A lot of people are even afraid to watch the news. You know, we sing that song, troublesome times are here, filling men's heart with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humming in your heart to God, say some a chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. And you know what, we're doing everything but that.
Yes.
A word spoken in due season, how good is it? A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. You can have joy. You can rejoice for a season, or you can rejoice for eternity. The joy of the Lord is our strength. One day He's going to tell us, enter thou into the joys of the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. I like those last two words in this verse.
Yes.
Hell beneath. Somebody said, there's not no hell. Somebody said, where is it? Right there it is. Hell's beneath.
Yeah.
They drilled down into this earth 3 miles, I believe it was in Finland. They drilled 3 miles through the crust of the earth, and they hit a hollow spot. And the drill bit got to moving frantically or wobbling around, whatever. And they pulled the drill bit out of the hole, and I've got to count this at the house. I should have brought it. Donnie's wanting to read it. I've read it several times, but they pulled it, and this is on the front page of a newspaper, They pulled the account, or they pulled the drill up out of the hole, and these were atheists, communist scientists that were doing this, trying to disprove that there was a hell down below. When they pulled that drill bit out of that hole, they set a very fearful to look upon winged creature come up out of the hole and with long teeth and claws screamed at them and flew off. And it scared these men so much they left the scene. They run plumb out of their shoes, leaving it. They came back to get their equipment, and they noticed that from this hole they could hear the screams of people. I've heard the tape. I've got it at home. You can literally hear the screams of people in hell. And I remember when I listened to that, there was a distinct scream of a woman in there. And there's no missing of the fact she's in agony. I've got the cassette tape at the house. I've got the written article at the house. It's fearful to read the article. It's fearful to hear the tape. But I'll tell you one thing. There's no missing what you hear when you hear that tape.
Yeah.
They played it several times. I got a copy of it. And I finally found a copy of the written article. And the world says there is no God. There is no hell. Right here in this verse right here. The way of life is above.
Yeah.
To the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. God offers man an opportunity.
Amen.
To depart from the hell beneath.
Yes, he does.
You know one thing about God? He's not a God that's far off. He didn't hide his face from us. He stepped down from the glories of heaven, came down here right in the midst of our troubles, walked like we walked, right down here on this cursed earth.
Yes.
Tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
Took on himself a form of servant, showed that it could be done. Lived before God in perfect holiness, showed it could be done. Was falsely accused. Three judgments. The Sanhedrin, Pilate, Herod's judgment. Mocked, cruel, entreated, spit, beat, beyond recognition. Crown of thorns put on his brow.
Yeah.
Just really vestiges marred more than any man. Just nothing but meat. Taken to Golgotha, place of a skull. And he was placed between two sinners. That's good. Both of them had the same access.
Right.
If he'd been on the end, one could have said, I wasn't close enough. He's in the middle, which fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53.
Yes.
That he was numbered with the transgressors and made his grave with the rich. Joseph Arimathea donated his tomb to Jesus just to use it. He didn't need it. But I want you to know, Jesus come down here and got right in the midst of our troubles. He's a very present help in trouble.
Thank
His
you.
Hand is stretched out all the day long.
Yes.
To keep people from going to hell. And people say, there is no hell. You can look at Calvary and know there's a hell. Jesus went through hell to give people a home in heaven.
Amen. That's right.
I tell you, this is a tremendous verse. The way of life is above to the wise. I wasn't always wise. I lived the life of a fool for 34 years.
Yes.
But I want you to know I've been living like this first part of this verse since April 27, 1988, when I got my eyes open, when I got a refuge for my soul. I tell you, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't know how you can say too much, but some say so little. But we do need to say, I am redeemed. I am saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Verse 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the borders of the widow. Just this week, the church gave some money to some widows.
Yeah.
And I got blessed just hearing about it. I'm glad that action was taken. God, He said, pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction, in the book of James there. Amen. Everybody wants to do right. Oh, till it comes to money. And I'll tell you what, buddy, when it comes to money, that's when you find out what you're really trusted in.
Yeah.
While we've got to give, let us give. The Bible says, more blessed to give than it is to receive.
Amen.
But pure religion and undefiled before God, James chapter number 1, verse 27. Everybody wants to be a little religious, you know. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Just do it in secret. Just, you know, do what we know to do. Do it right. Do it for the right reason.
Right.
And I'm glad this church is, I guess you call it, forward to move to help those in need.
Yeah.
That made me proud to be out the pastor of this church, to know that they've got the right mind.
Yeah.
To know that when a call is given, that they will arise to the call and send, you know, help to these widows.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And there's some people that just never going to let go. I remember hearing a story one time. I watched it on TV, I guess. How they catch monkeys. A guy walk out there in the jungle and he's got a metal 5-gallon can. And it's kind of canned that the lid don't come off. It's just got a cap that screws off, but it's big enough you can get your hand in it. He goes out to a tree out there in the middle of this jungle. Monkeys are up the trees all the way around him. They're watching him. He goes out there and he secures this metal can to this tree with a chain. Then he takes a bag of peanuts and pours them in that metal can. And then he walks away. And these monkeys, just as soon as he walks away, they come down, they're all around this tree. And one sticks his hand down there in that can to get some peanuts out. When he sticks his hand down that can to get them peanuts out, here comes this man with a ball bat. Because they eat monkeys over there. And all the rest of the monkeys run off. This one monkey, he's got a handful of peanuts. All he's got to do, Brother Ed, is let go of those peanuts. He's screaming and he's jumping up and down, but he will not let go of those peanuts. This guy's not in no hurry. He's taking his time. He walks right up at that monkey and he cold cocks him with that ball bat and he's seen dragging that monkey to his house, going to clean it and eat it. But how like that monkey some people are. They try to hold on to things they can't hold on to.
Amen.
They've not learned it's more blessed to give than it is to receive.
Yes.
And you know, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Oh, they've had some success. I may read the one about Voltaire before I preach today. I believe I will. But the Lord will destroy the house of the proud.
Yes.
But He will establish the border of the widow. Verse 26, the faults of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. And you can see that more pronounced in Genesis chapter number 6. When men started falling away from God. And you see God doing a speaking here, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Verse 6 says, and it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart.
Yeah.
Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now in the midst of those three verses of such judgment, the next verse says, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Even in the midst of judgment, There's grace to be found. There's mercy is offered. There's opportunities given. And I know a lot of people are probably in the battle decision. They're wondering, what do I need to do? I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. You need to make sure you're ready to go.
Amen.
This thing's not going to go away. It's got God wrote all over it. God's always used little things to do big things. But the faults of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Verse 27, he that's greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Me and Brother Ed was talking before Sunday school, and we were talking about someone stealing an 18-wheeler in North Carolina and taking it to a warehouse, and it had 18 to 20 tons of toilet paper in the trailer car of that tractor and trailer. They said no arrest had been made yet, which makes me think it's more political than anything. It may not be, but all indications is someone's trying to keep this toilet paper from making it to the destination that it was designed for. I don't know. I don't know if the truck driver was in on it. I don't know if the people that stole it were in on it. I don't know if they were just told what to do, when to do it, and a warehouse was waiting for them to fulfill the mission. I don't know. We see through a glass dark. I just know one thing. Someone was greedy of gain. I went myself to the grocery store this week. I saw my pastor come out with two bags on the window down, told him I was going to turn him in. He said, I'm taking this to one of the women. I said, blessings, brother, blessings. And he was doing what we need to remember, not be greedy again.
That's right.
But rather find the one that's in need and try to help them. I went in, Brother Ed. I never found one roll of toilet paper, not one. I had a list. I was supposed to get hot dogs. Hot dog buns. I never found a single package of hot dog buns. No bread, period.
No.
Way up there on top of the shelf where even I could barely reach it was a package of hot dog buns. And I reached up there and I said, thank you, Lord. And I got that one package of hot dog buns. I expected it whipped before I got out there, but I was able to leave with them. And all through that store, I saw people trying to find things that they couldn't find. Hand sanitizer, toilet paper, bread, just necessity things. And it wasn't done because people being greedy. They took it off. One man had come out of the store with like 20 gallons of milk. And somebody said, what are you buying all that milk for? He said, you mind your own business. And he just really probably going to go sell it. I don't know. But he that's greedy of gain. Brother Ed was telling me about catching them a guy had some hand sanitizers. I think they either had $17,000 worth of hand sanitizer, or they had 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer. I remember it myself, not with great detail, but they got caught trying to sell it.
Yeah.
And getting caught trying to sell it because they couldn't sell it. And they put forth so much effort to try to get their gain from what they bought at a fair price. They were trying to sell bottles of hand sanitizer extremely marked up, something like 300%. They got caught. And they were given the option. You can donate it to charity or you can go to prison. They said they donated to charity. But a greedy of gain.
Yeah.
God told his people when he rained down the manna, just get what you need.
Yeah, that's right.
Those that gathered little had no lack. Those that gathered more than what God told them to gather, it rotted and stank. You know the principles all through the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, all through the Bible, God doesn't want us to be greedy.
That's right.
God wants us to be full of faith. The Lord will provide. The Lord will take care of me. But he that's greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Boy, ain't that something. This Bible's not outdated.
Mm-mm.
You know, people talk about, you know, yeah, that was good back then, but it's not practical now. Well, right now they're catching people. Right now, that's greedy of gain. and they're troubling their own house. Some of them losing their life. Some of them getting arrested and you know, having to pay fines. He that's greedy of gain troubleth his own house. What a verse. Especially for the hour we're living in right now. But he that hateth gifts shall live. You know, some people can be bought out.
Yes, that's right.
Judas, how much will you give me? They gave him 30 pieces of silver.
Yeah.
Price of a slave. And he took it where Jesus was. Some people can be bought out. Achan, even being warned of God, still picked up a wedge of gold, a Babylonian garment, and some pieces of silver. He troubled his own house.
Yes, he did.
All his family, his wife, his children, all of his livestock, everything he had were stoned. Verse 27 fits pretty good today.
Yeah, that's right.
He that's greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. You know, my pastor, he's excelled in what this verse says right here. He does study to answer. I've asked him questions before, Brother Ed. He don't act like he didn't hear you.
Yeah.
He just don't say anything when you ask him.
Yeah.
And it may be months, but he'll come back and he said, that question you asked me that day, I prayed over it, I studied. And here's the best answer I know to give you about that. And boy, I tell you what, that's a trait that's hard to find. Yeah. There's so many people give so much of their mind, they ain't got no mind left.
Right.
But he does. He studies the answer. And one verse talks about a fool's known by his babbling. That describes me. I'm constantly running my mouth when I should be studying the answer. I should shut my mouth. But the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You always have these debates, these contradictions. One says this, one says that. Which one's right? Solomon was put in one of those dilemmas one day. There was two women fighting over one little baby.
Yeah.
One said it's mine, the other said it's mine. One of them said, Lord, this is my child. Her child, she lay on during the night and it died, and she put her dead baby beside me, took my living baby and put it over here with hers. And when I woke up in the morning, I realized that the dead baby wasn't mine, and they went and appealed to the king, and God had given Solomon wisdom. And he said, go get me a sword. They went and got him a sword. He said, bring the living child to me. And they brought him up there. And he said, I'll just divide him in two and give each one of them a part. And one woman said, yeah, go ahead and do that. And the other woman said, please don't give it to her. And he said, give the child to that one there. She's the mother.
Yes.
Her bowels would not allow her child to be cut in two. And the other one, she didn't care. So it sounds good to me.
Yeah.
But you know what? The wise man, he knows what to say. He knows what to do. And you know, Solomon was a very wise man.
Yes, he was.
Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. I hear people all the time, Brother Ed, they say, I pray, God don't hear my prayer. Well, I know what the Bible says. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me.
Right.
That's one of the stipulations to prayer. I mean, buddy, if you got sin, first go confess your sin.
That's it.
And then come back and pray. Yeah. Jesus said if a man went to the altar and realized he had altered against another, I'll leave his guilt there and then go talk to his brother and make things right and then come back and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me show you something else here. In 1 John chapter 3, where should I start reading right here? Well, let's just read verse 20. Well, I'm trying to get the thought clear here.
Yeah.
So let's try verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Mm-hmm. Here's the verse that really going to speak with comment to about God hearing the prayer of the righteous. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And you know that prayer is granted on the pretense of the heart's not condemned. I remember one time I was praying, and I had my righteous indignation, and I was praying, and my prayer wasn't the right prayer to pray, but I thought I was right to pray it. I was giving God down the road about my son and my daughter, and I was disappointed in some of the things that he's doing. And I said, God, this is doing this, and God, this is doing that. I am glad God interrupted me. And as I'm giving my son and my daughter down the road, the Lord interrupted my prayer. So I'll tell you what, let's pray for Eddie first, and then we'll get them later.
That's right.
And I wept and realized just how wrong I was.
Yeah.
To point a finger at them.
Amen.
And then really, I was more guilty than they were. Bringing judgment upon them. I wasn't innocent to begin with, but bringing judgment on them, I could see their problems clearly.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see my problem till the Lord brought it to my mind. You need to pray for yourself first. Right. Then we'll come back and we'll pray for your son and your daughter.
Right.
Well, we get like that every now and then.
Every now and then.
We forget, you know, that we need to pray first of all to be forgiven, and then we need to pray a prayer. I always say, Lord, please forgive me my sins and cleanse me from my sins.
Yeah.
Then I start praising God, say, Lord, thank you for being merciful to a wicked sinner like me and saving my soul. Wash me in the crimson blood of Jesus. And I get done praising the Lord. And then I say, Lord, I've got a prayer here that I'd like to bring before you. And I mention my prayer and I finish that prayer. I say, Lord, your will be done in this.
Amen.
Sometimes I don't know how to pray.
Right.
Sometimes I don't know what to say. But I put it in His care and in His hands.
That's right.
The Lord is far from the wicked. Let me show you something here. Isaiah 48:22 said, there's no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. I don't know how you can pray without peace.
Mm-mm.
And the wicked, they don't want to get right.
No.
They're not seeking to get right. They just want God to... You know, one guy pronounced a curse on me. And I said, help yourself, buddy. But I said, I just want you to know the curse is coming back on you, not on me. God's going to curse those that curse me.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to bless those that bless me. I said, curse away. But He did. He's one of them liberal infidels. I'm going to pray God to put a curse on you. I said, help yourself. Good luck with it. Now, when you think about that, God said, I will curse him that curseth thee.
Yeah.
He's bringing a curse on his own head.
That's right.
Lord's far from the wicked. And my cell phone, sometimes it don't work in certain areas. It don't have signal. That's kind of like this verse right here. They just can't get a hold of God.
Mm-mm.
But He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. There ain't nothing better than going to a doctor and the doctor says you're in good shape.
Yeah.
You're not worried. You take that report to be accurate. It ain't always accurate, because I remember one time my pastor telling me about a man down at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church. They come into church rejoicing. They say, "Wow, you're an awful good man. What happened?" He said, "I went to the doctor today, and he said I had the heart of a 16-year-old, and he fell dead during the service." That really did happen. My pastor was telling me about it. A good report. You know, the best report is a good report from the Lord.
Yeah.
But most people, they're not trusting in the Lord. They're trusting in some pill,
yeah,
some procedure.
Right.
You know, some kind of prescription, some kind of miracle pill, miracle drug, whatever. But a good report maketh the bones fat. Verse 31. I also thought about the first part of verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. I was really struggling to read my Bible, having trouble saying it. I don't know if it's my glasses or my eyes. I really don't. I thought, is it my glasses not strong enough? Is it my eyes getting weak or failing? But I was having to back up, get close, back up, get trying to get it focused in to where I could read it. And I'm glad, praise God, if I did get where I couldn't see, I'm glad I got enough of the Word of God in my heart that I could still preach, even if someone had to lead me by the hand. I could still preach just from what I've put in the well, what I've reserved in my heart. I could quote enough just from what I had spent time studying, reading, hiding in my heart. I could still preach. I couldn't be as effective as a preacher, but I could still preach.
Yeah.
I could still teach. I could have someone read the verse and I could comment on it.
Yeah.
I could still give testimony. I could still tell someone how to be saved. But how we take our eyes for granted. I thought, even this week, I thought, man, you're pretty close to Sydney. And I'm trying to focus in and ain't focusing it. And I blink, you know, you do that, try to get it again, and it still don't focus in. And I thought, maybe I got the wrong glasses on. I couldn't even see what they were, but looks like I'm fixing to have to get up the Magoo glasses. But the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Some people, they don't want to hear.
That's right.
They don't have an ear to hear. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And they just turned a deaf ear to that and said, "You know, I don't want none of that. I'm not interested." The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. I didn't have an ear for the Word of God for 34 years. Man, I had a deaf ear. Had people tell me things, I'd nod my head like I heard them. And it didn't go in one ear and out the other. It just never went in at all. I didn't want it in.
Yeah.
I didn't even let it pass through. Verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. I'll be all right. Don't worry about me, they say.
Yeah.
They don't want help, Brother Ed. There's some people that I've had to realize and accept that I can't help them.
Right.
They won't let God help them. They won't let me help them. They won't let anyone help them. They're like Frank Sinatra that sung the song, "And I did it my way." He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. It reminds me a lot of that young boy. It's too late for me.
Yeah.
He despised instruction. Oh. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. They stop. They listen. What was that you said again? They take the track. They read what's told. They look up the references. They're kind of like the bunch there, the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, I think it's verse 11, that they received the Word of God with all gladness of heart. And a lot of people, they don't have that. Talks about those of Berea who come and hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, that's the right recipe or approach to the Word of God. Check it out. You know, one thing about God, you can. He said, try Him and prove Me. You can try His Word. You can try Him. A lot of people have said, if you're really God, show me something. And God has done things for them. And it moved them to go a step further in their seeking of the Lord. We'll stop on this last verse right here. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The latter part of that verse, well, let's go ahead and dwell a little bit on the first part of it. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. You know, until I started fearing the Lord, I didn't seek instruction concerning wisdom. I thought I had it all figured out. A child at a certain age, they think they've forgotten more than their parents know.
Yeah.
And then their parents end up graduating this life and they say, boy, I wish I'd listened more. I wish I'd spent more time around them. They knew things that I took for granted. And really, in reality, they said they forgot more than I'll ever know. And how much wisdom has went to the grave that could have been recorded, that could have been written down. And here we are, we're so smart. Oh, I don't need nothing. I'm intellectual. I'm smart. I've got so many degrees. You call me Fahrenheit. Thermometer.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, buddy, we better start paying attention. We're getting dumber, not smarter. We're devolving instead of evolving. But the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. I want to comment on that latter part of that verse. Before honor is humility. I've worked in a lot of factories and I've seen this come and go. I've seen it in my own life. First thing they do when you get hired on a job, they'll pull a prank on you.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And if you can take that prank, you're in, boy.
You're in.
Yeah, you're part of the bunch. But if you can't take a joke, they're going to be standoffish for a while. A lot of people haven't figured that out. And those that have figured that out, it's been to their advantage. A little bit of humility gives a lot of honor. Mm-hmm. I watch these guys come in and they won't let nobody pull a joke on them, a prank on them. And they react terribly wrong. They don't get very far. But if you'll just come in and show you that you're human.
Yeah, that's right.
That you can laugh just like everybody else. And it's safe to be around you. You can take a joke.
You can tell
a joke. I hope it's the right kind. Before honor cometh humility. You'll go right up the ladder, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you can't take a joke, listen, don't mess with him.
That's right.
You'll be an outcast. You'll be probably short-lived in a factory. I've watched them. The ones that make it are the ones that can take a joke. But then right part of that verse, and before honor is humility. A lot of people just don't get that.
Mm-mm.
There's a way up, and the way up is down. Yeah. I bowed my knee. I bowed my head.
That's right.
And I said, I'm sorry.
Yes, Lord.
And I told God, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry. And I said, if you could, I wish you'd forgive me. And if you could, I wish you'd save me. Boy, you're talking about honor. God bestowed honor upon me just from humbling myself.
Mm-hmm.
Peter said, the Lord exalts the humble, but He resisteth the proud. I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 5. It's either verse 6 or verse 7. But the way up is down. And there's some men, that's not for me. They're going to be humbled one day because they are. No, I don't care if they're the strongest man in the world, biggest man in the world, richest man in the world, smartest man in the world. Every one of them, Brother Ed, they're going to bow their knee.
Amen.
Before throne of Christ, they're going to confess with their tongue that He's Lord, and they're not. It'd have been better to have a little bit of humility here, but whether here or there, they're going to have humility. Before honor is humility. And we'll stop right there on that last verse right there.